You don't have a race track in your mind.
That's right.
They're thinking about it.
Let's do, we got, for those of you who've asked a lot of little questions, and are not particularly pertaining to this, about flat adjustments and drought adjustments and all sorts of things, we're going to address the last 2 hours for a wide variety of what questions we get. We should have contenders scan and some of the any questions you have reserved for them, except on this. Now, they've left this on the blackboard, in super insertion on the blackboard that Dave Williams had skipped to especially. And Tom will merely come up now and implement the same chart with some methodology, numbers and figures and terminology, so that it will still be the twin procedure, I would call it a method. And it'll be translated. So you'll see just how easy it is to implement, and just listening to it this morning, which I must say is much more brilliant today than it was yesterday. Which may be the reason you seem so much more brilliant than they were yesterday. Tom will do this right now. If we make, is it all right? Are you?
I'm almost there.
Are you ready? Yesterday, he had a little trouble getting into gear.
Oh, yeah. You folks weren't here yesterday. What I'm about to talk about lends itself to following Jim's presentation. Yesterday, out of a clear blue sky for filler, he said, now Tom's going to talk for a minute. So what I did, I had to turn around and do it again after Jim had
done it. No, there's a transition that he should have made so that none of this would have ever been confusing in the beginning. But he didn't do it.
He's got to do it. It's a dirty job.
All right, I've got to do it.
A couple
of things before I get over to the board. One of them, several have already asked me, if you ever implement the clean ratings into our own methodology, one of the things you have to have are updated car charts in the starting methodology. In other words, our numbers. Now I have a couple of things for you. Now, first off, to get these things, I need self-addressed stamp envelopes. And not just calls asking me if I'll put them into your mailer for your variance. And what I'm offering to you is an updated Santa Anita Par chart. And I've just finished the Del Mar parts. I'll send those to you if you send me a self-addressed stamp envelope saying to do that. Because what I'm going to do is just Xerox 100 copies or 150 copies of each of cheap. And leave them where my wife can get her hands on them, and when she gets these envelopes, she'll turn right around and mail them right back to you. So, but don't call and ask me to put them into your variant envelopes, because then all of a sudden it's kind of a clerical thing that goes on. But I'll give you those cards.
What?
They go on each other?
Yeah.
Don't send them to my alias.
I don't want my wife to know about them.
Yes,
to my home
address.
And I'll send you the Del Mar, the fresh walk the press, the Del Mar parts, and the updated Santa Anita parts. Now, those of you that are using my variants to be able to implement this, I send you plus 0.80, plus 0.50. I give it to you already converted to certain terms. And to be able to then take the variant that I give you and move it over to a plus or a minus situation, as where it says adjust the time, you have to have the Santa Anita car chart. Because as all of you who I think already know, all of the variants you get from me are converted to the Santa Anita cars before you get them. That way you have interchangeability. That's the home base for all of the variants. That gives us an ability to compare Santa Anita rating to Hollywood rating to Del Mar rating. So you have to have the Santa Anita car chart. Now if you're just creating a daily variant, and an upside down stamp. We put the stamp on right now, I'll send you some of those. where was I? I threw a pipe loan there. You need the Santa Anita park house. Otherwise, you can't make that transition. Now, the way you do it.
Oh, I know what I was going to say.
But the other point was if you're creating your own daily variant, then use the Del Mar chart or the Hollywood chart. Because you make your own tracks on that. So if you want to create your own daily variant, plus or minuses, then go right ahead and do that using final time if you want, because it's all on the par chart. You've all seen the par chart format. Now, if you're going to use my variance, remember I've already done these plus or minuses for you. If you want to use my variance, you make some substitutions on this board. That is, if we could erase some of this stuff.
This is really a poorly equipped operation here.
You got a paper towel.
Okay. Schmidt doesn't do this kind of work anymore.
Does he got too big?
He did it for Mitchell. I don't know if he does forever.
I got too many complaints about dirty shoes. I gave it up from that.
The par at Santa Anita for $20,000. You look it up on the par chart that you either have, and these will be dated 587. So if you already have one, they've been updated. It won't be quite right unless you get the updated version. And they're dated 587. That's how you check against that. The $20,000 par in a sprint at Santa Anita is 56.47. Then you take the final time. Now, the one thing you have to do is you have to hold the charts from the previous week until you get my variance in the mail. You can't do it until you get those, right? So you hold the previous week. So you got to go back over each race, which still only takes you probably 20 minutes for the whole week or half an hour to go. 56.47. So then you take the race that you're looking at, $20,000 race, and suppose you had that 111 race, right? What is, say, 45.111 in the variance program? Anybody? Okay, we'll save this there. Just 56. Now, the final time on the race you're looking at is 56.00. Now, the next step that you make then is to look up the variant that I assigned to that particular race. And let's say that I assign 0.80 plus. That's the rating I gave you on that race. The adjusted time then is 56.80. What you do with this number is you compare it back to the par at Santa Anita. Remember, this is a Hollywood race, but the Santa Anita par is built into this 0.80 for you. So you compare this number now to the Santa Anita par. In this particular case, this race is fast 0.33. Anybody have any trouble getting there?
What's this 0.33?
That's the difference between par and the adjusted. That's okay. And the adjusted time.
Sorry.
It's all right. That's 0.33. Now, what that tells you in length, write this down, because in a sprint, use 0.15 per length. Route is 0.10. Now, there's a little rounding in there, but those numbers are just fine for you. Use 0.10.
That final time? Those are.
This is this.
Okay.
That's this right here.
Just velocity.
Yeah.
Spring. How much?
Well, not final times because the fraction of time factor in that.
0.1.
So a sprint, use 0.15. And on a route, use 0.10. Now let's go back to this. This race was fast 0.33. So now if you're looking the rating up on the Quinn chart, what is 0.33 in a sprint?
Two.
There you go. That race is too fast. Not T-O-O. That race is too fast. And so you look it up in there on a $20,000 race that's too fast. Anybody, you want to tell me about it? It's a six. It's really not difficult. Actually, you work through a few of them, it's a piece of cake.
Six?
I've done the work for you.
Pardon?
Six? It's a six on this Quinn scale. Yeah. And then you apply it to, in this case, it would be a six here, which would transfer the
answer.
I don't get
where
it's
going. All right, Look on the Quinn scale at $20,000.
Yeah.
Okay. Look at par plus two plus four. Okay, this race we said because of the variant I gave you was adjusted and compared to the original par.
Well, it's a maiden.
It's too fast. Well, actually, it comes to the same as a maiden.
Sorry.
That's all right. It's too fast, therefore it's a six on
this
scale.
Yeah. Figuring length behind in your formula, I've been using a 0.25 for sprints and a 0.15 for routes. Is that wrong?
No, that's at the fractional time.
Right.
That's at the half and then three quarters.
So now we're talking about a bit.
That doesn't have anything to do with it.
Okay.
We're talking about an overall figure
fine.
Here. Okay.
Okay,
that's to compare second call, please.
Right. 0.33, how do you relate that to the par plus 2 or 4?
Okay, if it's a sprint, you divide 0.15 into 0.33.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry.
That gives you 2. After you work through a few of these, it becomes second nature, automatic. Now you can compare it to the Quinn
ratings.
If it's a route, this would be 3 lengths, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
3.3, but that's
right. Just round it up. Round it up or down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's where you make the conversion. Now, I've been using the Quinn rating since the, actually, I pulled around them last year. There's some benefits to them. One of the real benefits is that when you start assigning your CQ rating, how many times have we cautioned you that when a horse goes blasts out of the gate, takes a big leap, and goes wire to wire, how many times have we cautioned you that that is a poor pace line to select? Many times, right? Just because there's no challenge. Well, see, this you'd rate that race a one or a two, depending on the race itself. Now, that will really discredit that kind of a performance. That's one of the big ratings here. Now, what I'm doing with these is I'm creating them daily, and I'm using it as a final separator in a lot of instances, especially when the numbers are close with three or four horses. I'll look up the Quinn class rating that I assigned to that particular race and horse, and I'll use that to help me make my separation. I'm also deriving a lot of the horses to watch from this, because I also shape the races. Whether it's fast, slow, fast, whatever it might be, so a combination of this rating and the shape of that race, that generates the horses to watch.
Tom, are you classifying from a Brazil chart or from looking on television?
He has first a program.
Good question, and we're going to deal with that in a moment. I do it from the results chart. Now, recognizing that I'm more comfortable when I do it through visual observation, but I can't watch, I'm out of town half the time. I can't watch the races. And I'm perfectly satisfied with the production so far, anyway, with the results of this particular methodology. Granted, I'd rather see them, but I think it's a perfectly acceptable alternative. Teach you to read charts. It really works.
Going back to your example of the horse that's great, blasts out, takes off, as I'm suggested, wins by 5, 6, 7 lengths. Suppose he, that horse is par plus 2. Do you discount? In other words, that's a better than average performance, even though he was uncontested. How do you, okay, when the chips are down, next time he's going to have some competition, how would you personally kind of relate that when you don't have much else to go on?
Well, when that really becomes a problem is that horses that just broke the maiden without any racing suggestions. You can't really judge whether the horse can handle not being in front or if it can handle competition or something. But if it's two above par, remember you're getting a little push on this side.
Yes.
For what you're losing on this side. And you just have to deal with that. I mean, so far I have found that when I have a one or a two assigned to the race, that race turns out terrible next time. Okay, now you may find it differently, and I can't really give you the answer to that.
It was something we hadn't said 1 by 7.
Yeah.
And then it was an odd name, right?
We made a big thing yesterday, I made a big thing yesterday. We were doing a little different exercise, and I put up a horse called Summer Dress that I had sent out as a horse to watch, right? And Summer Dress had run, breaking its maiden, it had run 22.44.4. At 6 furlongs, that 22.4 second fraction is incredible. It's Anita, for the, I mean, a Hollywood Park for that kind of a, you know, for that kind of a horse, you know, a 3-year-old filly. Well, the thing that beat her yesterday is the fact that one thing we weren't looking at is that there was a horse capable of going 21-2 in the same race. Now, here's a horse that could have gone 22.44.4, but if it had to go against that 21-2, that throws the horse to watch status out and all the rest of it. Now, in the case of Summer Dress, the race it came out of could have been rated a 2 or a 3. I chose to rate it a 3, but had you rated it a 2, that kind of answers the question you just asked me, because it came back yesterday against pressure, and instead of improving, it fell apart. I mean, it couldn't handle it.
But that was an exceptional pressure, right?
No, I don't think so. I think you see that a lot.
Oh, well then why did you miss it?
Because nobody, why did I miss it yesterday? Because we didn't have the racing form. Well, we took an isolated horse and said, here's what this horse looked like.
Okay.
We didn't handicap the race.
You just don't miss, Tom. I just was wondering.
You wait for me in the car, will you please? Not as bad as my wife. She says, how do you do? How'd you do today? I mean, we're talking about you convincing your wives that when you come home from the racetrack, not to ask you how you did at the end of the month, maybe. My wife still asks me how I did. She doesn't care. I could say I lost the family fortune, the kids are in hock, and we lost the car. She said, that's fine. She doesn't pay any attention. She says it out of courtesy.
Right.
You and her have got a lot in common.
Thank you. This horse has now got 6 points. Say the rating was a difficult race. He had a lot of competition, and he was rated a 5.
that would make his horse a 30.
Right.
And you could still use the 15 as par divided by 30, that gives the horse a PI of 1, right?
2.
2.
2.
Huh?
2. 2.
30 by 15, 30.
2. 2. 2. Yeah.
Now, that's awful high, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't Well, that just means it could step up. I mean, if it came out of a race that was 2 lengths better than par, and a competitive level was fine, that kind of horse probably can step up. One of the horses that when Jim was talking here earlier, and I shared at lunch, I was waiting for more discussion. It didn't come up. But I had, there was a horse called Bob's Intent that ran yesterday, stepping up from 16 to 32.
Yes.
Yeah. And it got beat the three-horse photo. It really ran good on the rise. Well, the off the previous rating, because I looked up the rating I had given it, its PI was 1.67, ironically enough. And it projected to a 19.2, because we were saying, well, why does that work? Why does that work? Why does that work? Well, you know, Jim regrets not answering it because it does. And it projected to a 19.2, and the number I assigned to that when I was in the back room, because that's one of the things I do when I make the variance, was 20. And it got beat, what, a neck and a head, and it projected to a 19.2, and it got beat a neck and a head against the 20 race. That's as close as it gets. Now, I don't know why it works that way. But that one certainly did, and that was, of course, that's one example. The point is, it's the only one I looked at. So it's interesting. It just happens to work that way. This would project very highly. I mean, this is a big the competitive rating. I have found this exercise right here to be even more valuable than that one, because my variance. I've always hooked in on this, and that's where the horses to watch usually come from. I have found this to be a big supplement, and I use these ratings to help me separate when I'm about finished with the process. But I don't let them overwhelm the starting numbers. Got to be careful with that.
Okay, Tom, we'll check in the Bay Meadows.
Check me at Bay Meadows, yeah. You're right. I'm ready for Bay Meadows.
Are those numbers variant energy or true speed velocity?
It's variant energy.
Variant, so I could use the B program from the chart to
Def
get the
B.
number.
Def B.
Yeah,
okay,
Def
yeah,
B.
Let's
yeah.
talk about that.
So it's not a true
that's
speed.
That's where this number comes from.
Yes.
That's when your variant.
So that's not a true speed velocity. It's your variant energy, which
variant
incorporates
energy.
That.
Yeah,
into
so we're
thing.
Incorporating, actually, I think this is a little better.
Yeah.
Because we're incorporating a piece of that race.
Yes, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the fractions help make up this number. So if the horse ran in 111, 45, this is actually 45-1-111. And the horse actually performed like that, would have been 56. Mm-hmm. You just look up the part San Anita. But be careful that you're using, if you're using my variance, be careful that you're using the Santa Anita part, because I've adjusted everything to Santa Anita. Not in Northern California.
Yeah,
that's exactly.
I know that.
Okay.
Let's say the horse in this case wins wire to wire. It runs faster than a par pace, but your bias was a sustained bias for the day. Essentially, this horse ran opposite to the bias. Now, that would be a quite a contentious race.
Absolutely. And if the horse overcame the bias to win, I don't know what you're going to do.
Even though he won wire to wire.
Yeah, I don't know what you're going to do to Mickey Mouse these numbers, but I got to tell you, one of the things that I enter into my notebook, because I put the shape of the race, but I also put the bias of that particular, how that race was won, and then at the end of the, at the bottom of that notebook, I write down the bias for that day. Now, that's what I'm saying. Don't let these numbers overwhelm the starting numbers, because when I go back to see that particular race, here's a horse. Maybe I've got the top class figure, but when I look him up, I find that he won as an early pace horse on a track that was sustained. Okay, now maybe you didn't get the biggest number here, but you got the biggest number right here, I got to tell you.
So, could you give us some guidelines on how you read the results charts to assign the CQ rating?
Well, okay, but keep in mind these definitions here.
Yeah.
What I do is analyze each of the running calls at the position. What you have to do is you have to visualize the race.
Right.
Okay. So you're at the chart caller's mercy.
Right.
Okay. But if the horses are close, he's not very far wrong. So that's all you really need. So if you got a horse that's leading by a head, another one leading by a head. I mean, second by a head, and a third one. You got three horses, and you can visualize them. Right.
Right.
One of them's going to be outside the other two.
Right.
If you can figure out who that one was, that'll give you kind of a trouble note. Now at the half, another horse is leading by a neck. Horse is leading by a head, now you have a fourth horse joining them, right? Well, that's been a sustained drive since the time they got out of the gate. That's a half a mile.
Sure.
Okay? Then you go to wire with that. You visualize that race and try to apply to these definitions. I think it can be done.
Yeah, that's what my thought was.
Okay. Now, I haven't gone, because I haven't seen any races to speak of, so I haven't gone to the trouble of doing this and then watching the races to find out the error factor. But I'm satisfied with what I'm looking for. Certainly not sent me any wrong directions. We were talking about one of the examples yesterday. When I said Bob's Intent, I was supposed to watch some weeks ago, right?
Right.
Where he wins two races off of that. First one he won, he also had the high quin rating. He had the high starting rating, and he had a quin rating of 12. Now, the next rated horse in the race, as far as my
Variant in our, I started this was first called Brewer's Anthony. Brewer's Anthony was a sixth in that race. Variant was a third graded horse and a fourth graded horse. Now, second, third, fourth were all very close. And it was a hard call to make. But the fourth graded horse was a horse called Tiffany's Call. Now, that horse was a 10. So you had a 12 at Bob's and 10, which was clearly the top horse to play. Then you had the second graded horse at a 6, the third graded horse like a 5, and the fourth graded horse in that cluster at a 10. It's pretty easy to put that exactly together, or make that second horse in your bet. I think it's a good separate. And Tiffany's Story happened to be 7-1, so you get the benefit of the price against those other two horses anyway.
Really, Danny came back to win out of that race.
In a sprint. But it didn't win that day, and that was all you're looking for, you know. Because each race sets up here, like the summer dress race yesterday. If Summer Dress gets in her next start against the 22 quarter, she'll probably blow them down. She's just brutal. She can't handle 21-4, 21-3, though.
In all fairness to you, Yours Anytime was the only other horse that had come from off the pace against a 21-4 quarter and was out of a plus 55 race. Now, I don't even worry about the times anymore because I'm so used to looking at 56 point whatever it is. And she had an equal to Summer Dress.
How many of you were in here last month when we did when I did that sample race with the 11 horses of which we identified 9 front runners in there? Mm-hmm. You see, if you're still doing that, you see that. There were a lot of the contenders, I think all were frontrunners except for your maiden time, right?
Yeah, most of them. Yeah, they were. They were all maiden winners and widely raced horses. Okay. Out of the gate and away they go.
Because each race shapes up a little differently as a result of how the races go together. And when you have a predominance of frontrunners, and they all have matching numbers, in other words, one won't clear the rest of them or keep going, then you start looking for other possibilities. And the ninth race on Friday night is a great example of that. The estate race, the rest of them. I mean, there were 3 horses with the same number practically early. And it just set up for a closer. The estate happened to be the right closer. The closers ran 1, 2, 3. Those 3 front runners all ran 5, 6, 7.
Yeah, 6 horses.
Braxman had bad luck. Braxman had bad luck.
He did, huh? I just don't think he could have taken the heat he was getting in that race anyway. But, and that happens. When you get a predominance of front runners with matching numbers, the bad luck happens more often.
Yeah.
one of the stories that Dick was telling for a while when we were still gee-whizzing this operation, and we were at Santa Anita one day on a race down a hill, and I had 5 frontrunners in a race, and of the 5 frontrunners, all of them had the same second call number. And so I told Dick, we don't want to bet the favorite, because based on where he's going to be, he's probably going to get in some trouble, a good chance of it. Right? So down the hill they come, and Trevor Denman is screaming, such and such is trapped, he's in trouble, and he's galling. He's getting red and red, and the favorite got beat at short price. Well, he told this story for a long time, and then all of a sudden he realizes he can do it too. You know? So now he's not gee-whizzing it anymore. But the point is, if you look at the numbers and you analyze the race, you'll find that those kind of, I mean, if you've got 5 horses with the same number, second call, one of them's going to be 5 wide then.
And the only thing that bothers me about analyzing races, like Summer Dress yesterday, I didn't look at the results today. Well, what if that horse lost against a 22-2? I don't know what time was yesterday.
It was 21-4.
Was it?
Yeah, it was 21-4, and she fell behind that horse. Was capable of going 21-2. And I don't think if she get that quarter of it 22-2, I don't think she'll lose. But that's how fragile these matchups are. Sure. I mean, and she'd only had 1 race. She didn't know how she handled it. She couldn't get to the lead. Well, now you know how she handled it. She does.
She was trapped all the way anyway. I mean, she had horses on both sides of her, and you could just tell she didn't like it. She was struggling.
But she also, and she may bounce. I mean, when we talked about Petrovich.
Yeah,
I mean, that was his first race in the United States, and he ran every step of the way under pressure, all the way to the wire. Well, he came back out of that race not so good. You know, Tiffany's last, when they brought her back, that's the worst thing they could have ever done, was have her win that 6-furlong race against those, because they were good sprinters, Lusat, Sullivan, Zinsu. They bring her back off that long layup and keep her perfect record, she's sick. She wins that race, and now she hasn't run well at all since then. You know, so now she not only doesn't have her perfect record, she's really lost a lot of her luster.
And what happened with the fast stock? Was a good horse, won the first 2, and now he's not winning anything.
That's right. Talk fast.
Yeah, talk fast.
Slow squad with the same way.
And, excuse me, I want to ask you a question. A horse wins, and there is an example in the manual. Dr. Sarkin said, Swale won the race, but he won as a sustained horse. What do you mean by sustained? I know that sustaining horses comes from behind.
No, not necessarily.
You want to sustain a horse because of the early energy you put out. I'm going to let the doc do that because I don't understand halfway right. No. He won by slowing the pace down. He was able to expend his energy in a sustained manner. Doesn't mean closure.
I thought that early doesn't mean necessarily being on the lead.
Because at Golden Gate, you get a lot of closures running at 52.80.
Yeah.
Okay, it's because everybody else won 54.
Yeah.
They're early. They're closers, but they're early.
Sustained pace is a defined thing in the manual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think sustained pace is a horse that charges at the end and wins the race.
That's still a closer.
Still a closer.
Yeah.
Then I don't understand what's a sustained
early
pace.
Early speed is early speed, but early pace and sustained pace are two clearly defined things, like paranoia and schizophrenia. Both of them are nuts, but they have a clearly defined distinction.
I don't know what sustained pace.
I'll tell you, sustained means that you're better able to sustain what you've done early to the wire.
Oh, I see. Now
okay,
you
that's
make
the reason
it clear.
We say go ahead and identify the running styles in the field you're handicapping. In other words, if you've got three closures in the field, then you identify the mid-pack horses and you identify the front runners. Because any or all of them might be sustained or early. But you want to identify, say, suppose you call a horse a front runner. And, okay. Suppose you call a horse a front runner.
Yeah.
And his numbers aren't capable of getting the lead. That makes him a mid-pack horse for him. It's all got to be put together. I mean, you got to identify running style, you got to identify the percent early, and then you got to target what will win in this particular race. And in some races, a 54 is okay, because everybody else is 51.
Oh, I see.
Did you G-Wiz it again? No, he doesn't do G-Wizing anymore, though.
I have one question on this tough race. Where you give him a five, but it seems like the next race after a tough race, the horse there might have been too much out of him.
Quite often,
and we're going to be rating that horse real high that race.
But you can't. I mean, you'll just have to handicap the next race and decide that one. But you can't. This is like the variance I set up. Because some of these horses don't run back to the number that I made for them. That doesn't change the number rate. And often the horse that I got to tell you, I've had a lot of calls. Horses run 1-2 in a race. The horse wins by 2.5 lengths, the second one runs second. Next time they run, same race now, right? Mm-hmm. The next time, and they get the same variance. So the next time they run, the horse that won runs in a toilet. The horse that ran second wins. The call comes to me and says, what the hell's wrong with the variance? I can't help it. I just have to make the number that the horses have earned in their previous race.
But, you know, a tough race like this.
I know, I mean, it can knock them off. But also, see, that's also one of the misconceptions that we've lived with for a long time. And the fact that you're assigning some of these a five and making a high value piece for that, horses that come out of those races in which they compete every step of the way, often, in fact, more often than not, run big the next time. Now, in the case of Petrovich, he hadn't run in a year or better, and he comes off the shelf to run that. Well, see, that's an entirely different study. We're talking about a horse firing that big off of a long layoff, and that doesn't do him any good. On the other hand, a horse that's in form, that doesn't stop him up in.
Yeah, that's interesting. You have to know that, because now you're in the form analysis. You have to know the difference between the repeat driving finishes, those horses are likely to run back to those or improve, but we also know that there's an exception. Horses that overexert themselves on long layoffs tend to regress.
Can you all make that move now? I think it's fairly straightforward. Because when you get the hang of it, it really goes fast. I mean, just go through and you run through the day's results charts after you have the variance, and you assign each race the number that it would have with the variant attached to it, and then you look up the parts. It doesn't take you long to put those numbers in. In the meantime, you've assigned a competitive. You can all set up most of it in advance. You can assign a competitive level number to the race. We have it all ready to go. The only thing we're missing then would be the adjusted telling, the class coupon. I want to say something else before I sit down, and that is several people have asked me what's happened to Intertrack Wagering. About 3 months ago, I stood up here and said, guess what? I happen to know personally several friends on the Pacific Bell account team are very good friends of mine. I have it from good authority.
July 24th, this will be capable of taking Del Mar races up to Los Alamitos and San Antonio. That would have been. But the bill that would have done that got hung up in committee because of the language of the bill. And then the one of the vendors, not specific Bell, but one of the vendors had some hardware problems. The current status on intercraft wagering is that on September 24th, which is before the a week before Oak Tree, everything will be online to simulcast Oak Tree down to Del Mar. So whoever's in San Diego area, at the beginning of Oak Tree, you're supposed to have intertrack waiting. I understand the bill, finally, they worked out the language, and now it's going to go to General Assembly, and then it's going to go to the governor. And we're probably going to have intertrack waiting. Now, those of you at Pomona aren't going to get Oak Tree, and those of you at Hollywood don't get Oak Tree, and I